today is from Jonah chapter 2, and you'll find this in your Bibles on page 927. Jonah's prayer. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help. And you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his holy word.
When Jonah had run as far away as he possibly could have, God didn't let him go. He chased after Jonah. And God doesn't let us go, even when we go astray. Before we begin, let's bow our heads to pray. Lord, as we come before you, let us have hearts to know you, hearts to understand what we're about to take a closer look at. May you bless us with deeper knowledge of you. Amen. Jonah, commanded by God to go to Nineveh and to preach against it, but instead of obeying, he is consumed by fear, selfishness, and a vain attempt at self-sufficiency. Jonah decides to board a boat bound for the furthest reaches of the world, all because he can't find it within himself to answer God's call. But as all attempts to run away from God go, Jonah is found. While sailing, the sea is hit with a massive storm, so bad, in fact, that the seasoned crew workers are scared they might die. What about Jonah, who is not used to sea travel? What must he be thinking? I'm running away from life. My disobedience has caused calamity. I'm putting other people in danger. I am rootless and wandering, and I don't know who I am anymore. I might as well be thrown overboard. So as Jonah hurtles through the air, crashes below the surface of frigid, dark, consuming waters, he feels a rush as a great big mouth opens around him, propelling him into a cavern full of rotting fish. "Where am I?" he must be asking. "This must be some kind of hell, some kind of punishment for my actions." As he soon finds out, he's in the belly of a whale. The way the narrator has described this story so far, he hints at Jonah's downward spiral. As Peter Craigie, a New Testament scholar, says, the text depicts Jonah descending, down to Joppa, down into a ship, down into the depths of the ship, and now, finally, down to the very depths of the ocean. In essence, Jonah has hit rock bottom. He can't fall any farther. And it's from this position, rock bottom, that Jonah grasps grace. You see, we can't grasp or understand grace until we come face to face with our own sinfulness, our own inability to lift ourselves from the miry pit. Peter Craigie says, it was not until Jonah was all the way down, finally stripped of his own buoyant self-sufficiency, that deliverance was truly possible. Maybe we've come across this rock bottom phenomenon before. Maybe we know people in our lives who have struggled with some kind of addiction to alcohol, to drugs, to some other kind of magnetic pull that pulls us to a detrimental lifestyle. To everyone else, the addiction is a problem. To the addicted, it's not so much of a problem. So interventions fall flat, treatment fails, because those with addictions don't want to be cured of what they don't want to give up. And so addiction continues. But then comes a defining moment, rock bottom. Most recovering addicts speak of rock bottom as the time when things had gotten so screwed up, they realized that they had a problem with addiction. Rock bottom was the moment they decided to get help. And it was the moment that they finally chose to get help, and their lives started to change for the better. But it took rock bottom, it took coming to the end of themselves to realize they had to change. From rock bottom, you can reach out and get help. And Jonah does the exact same thing. Jonah, in his own way, had completely and utterly failed. And it was from this utter destitution that we hear his gasping, desperate cries. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. The Lord God, maker of all things, heard me, Jonah says. When I was at death's door, ready to lay in the grave, you heard me, God. I, who am but a sinner, with no reason to save me, you heard me. And he goes on. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. And I said, I have been banished from your sight. But yet, I will look towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters, they will threaten me. The deep, it surrounds me, and seaweed wraps around my head. To the very roots of the mountain, I sank down, down until the earth below barred me in forever. Jonah is saying, I had reached my limit, and I saw no hope. There seemed to be no way out. I had nothing. And Jonah realizes, possibly for the very first time, what rock bottom was, what his pattern of running away from God had done to him. And so Jonah comes face to face with his own destitution. I don't know if any of you have been watching the recent BBC TV series on Les Mis, but this is one of my favorite storylines. It's a French novel full of injustice, redemption, and grace. And in it, there's a character named Jean Valjean, a convict who was put in prison for 19 years for stealing a loaf of bread. And over his 19-year sentence, he's built up a steely armor of bitterness and rage. And so as he stalks out into the free world for the first time in years, he thinks the world owes him something. So when a local priest takes in Valjean into his home, feeding him, clothing him, caring for him, Valjean turns around and steals the silverware. And just like Jonah, Valjean is caught on the run, brought back before the priest, expecting to be thrown right back into jail. But the priest hands him the silver candlesticks as well. "You forgot these," he said. "Now go with God." Floored by the priest's radical forgiveness, Valjean stumbles out of the house, out onto the road, at war with himself. "What did the priest see in me? He said I had a soul, that I could be an honest man, me." And as he struggles with himself, Valjean sees a young boy flicking a coin in the air. And as the coin glints in the sunlight, Valjean greedily catches it, taking it for himself. He growls at the boy, running him off. But as Valjean stares at the coin, contemplating his life, tears prick to his eyes, and he collapses, overcome by emotion and overcome by his own fallenness. "I've stolen from a priest and from a child." Valjean's rock bottom. Candlesticks and a coin. Undeserved symbols of grace to a man who had fallen so far. Both Valjean and Jonah had fallen as far down as they possibly could. And it was from this position they came to know God. They had nothing, no powers of their own to bring themselves up, and they realized an age-old saying, "You don't realize Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have." So in a broken voice, we hear Jonah's urgent plea. "I sank to the depths of the sea, to the roots of the mountains trapped beneath the earth. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit." Lord my God. Jonah had spent such a long time denying the Lord, running away from him. But here we see him realize a fundamental truth. When we hit rock bottom, when we have nothing else, God's grace is our greatest hope. "But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit." Jonah reaffirms his faith in a God whose grace he has just now come to know. Jonah claims the Lord as his God. Lord, my God. I think our normal reaction is to say Jonah's deliverance happens when the whale spits him onto dry ground. But I think deliverance happens earlier. Deliverance, Jonah's deliverance, is realizing the depth of God's grace. Realizing that the identity of God is always rooted in his desire to save his wayward people. Deliverance is understanding God's grace in the midst of our brokenness. Jonah has understood grace. And Jonah's downward spiral reverses. The Lord brings him up from the pit. Jonah's prayers rise up to God, to his holy temple on high. As Jonah experiences those sweet tastes of grace, he exclaims, "I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you." He says, "I will enter into covenant with you. With a song of adoration and praise, I will thank you for lifting me from this pit." Jonah responds to his deliverance in faithfulness. he worships God for a gift of grace. And then Jonah comes to a triumphant proclamation. Salvation comes from the Lord. Jonah intimately knows what it's like to be saved by God. When he was looking for safety in far-reaching countries, a grace-filled God saved Jonah from his self-destructive habits. Salvation comes from the Lord. This is salvation, that when we have run as far away as we possibly can from God, fallen completely into sin, God is waiting for us, waiting to give us undeserved grace. God is waiting for us to come to him, and he is waiting to lavish grace on us. Jonah understood grace, but do we? Do we truly understand God's grace for us today? Not as a theological term with a long definition, not as a concept we give lip service to and never stop to contemplate, but as an everyday reality in our lives. Have we tread the depths of our own souls, come face to face with our brokenness, our sin, our utter destitution apart from God? Because when we know our own fallenness, we can know the depths of God's grace. Do we truly understand God's grace for us today? Amen. In Rock of Ages, there's a verse that goes, "Not the labors of my hands could fulfill the law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow. Nothing could for sin atone. Thou must save, and thou alone." Jonah realized that God must save, and God alone. So in humble submission, may we too sing these words in Rock of Ages.